honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation this week with 92-year-old Leonard Blake. He and his wife, Gloria, have made Whittier, California their home for decades, but in May of 1945, his floating home was the merchant vessel SS Mary Ann Livermore. On May 28, 1945, the Livermore became one of the last casualties of Operation Tengo, the last Japanese naval offensive of World War II. Navy records state that a twin-float, single-engine biplane known as an ALF crashed into the Livermore. 11 men were killed, including some of Leonard's best friends.
And when you told us, you know, you made that promise, I'll never smoke or drink, and you also promised those guys who died that you would live 10 years for each of them.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does it mean to live 10 years for someone? How do you live that out?
I just live my life and live a good life for them. I got jobs that I never would have gotten, you know. Because of the wounds, like the wounds are still there. And I'd go in for a physical. I had a Harley. I hated cops with a passion because of that old man that left us. I used to get stopped every now and then. And I remember I was on my bike one day and I was down in Hollywood and I had the bars and risers and all the stuff to go with it. I made a left turn in front of two officers that were on motorcycles and I made a left turn on purpose in front of them. They pulled me over. I was big and bad then. I weighed 190, and I'd been working out for 9 years, I guess, and challenged this police officer to a fight. He said, you know what? He says, kid, you're never going to beat us. You better join us. And I just listened to him for some reason, and I went back to, I was working in a trucking firm, driving a truck, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And I went and started taking exams for all the cities, and I went to work for Linwood and became a rode motors for them, you know. And I finally left there and went to work for the county and became a deputy. Later on, well, I transferred over to the DA's office as an investigator.
So you worked for Linwood Police Department and L.A. County Sheriff's?
L.A. County Marshal's office.
Uh-huh.
And then transferred over to the
district attorney.
District attorney's office, yeah.
And I know we're bouncing around here, but I want to understand, because for you it's a long time ago and you've dealt with the pain every day, so some of these elements of your story probably don't seem like a big deal to you, but they probably are to us. So all these doctors are telling you you're never going to walk again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, because you've been in a cast, been immobilized, I'm sure you're dealing with atrophy, you're losing weight.
Yeah.
So you went from
90. I weighed 90 pounds. I weighed 160 when I was wounded, and I weighed 90 pounds when I left the hospital.
What did you have to do to get out of the hospital?
I begged the doctor to let me go. He said, I'll let you go if you can get on crutches. And I said, give me the crutches. And I got the crutches, and they finally let me go, and one of the nurses took me to this train station, and I came back to Southern California to the Blakes. They were over living off of Western Avenue, and they took me in.
So this is, you know, the family of your best friend who's killed the day you're almost killed.
Yeah.
And they visit you in the hospital, and they say, we want to adopt you.
Yeah.
How big a difference did that make in your life?
I don't know. They were the nicest people in the world, and I always thought about Bob. I owed it to him, you know. So that's how I came to be with him.
So you go from a teenager whose body is shattered to the point they can't even close up all your wounds. You're told you're never going to walk again. You fight to keep your legs. You fight to learn how to walk.
Yeah.
And eventually you end up with a career in law enforcement.
Yeah, I got a membership to Vic Tanny's gym over in Alhambra. And I worked out at Tanny's gym for 9 years, I guess. And finally, what the heck? I think I had 18-inch arms and 52-inch chest, and my legs weren't very much. You know, they were kind of screwed, but my upper body was great. I just went through a lot of pain from it, but it's memories, a lot of it.
What drove you that whole time to do all this? Why didn't you give up?
I just owed it to my shipmates that I'd try and do the best I could. I still see them when I wake up in the morning.
And is it true that you've never received the Purple Heart?
No, never got it. I filed for it. People tried to get it for me, and no Purple Heart. I've got a list of 24 men that were given the Purple Heart that were in the veteran. They gave the Purple Heart to newspaper men.
Ernie Pyle?
Yeah, Ernie Pyle, yeah.
Does that bother you?
Yeah. They gave us the Mariner's Medal, is what they called it.
And there's no disputing what happened to you.
No.
And as you said, in 1988, the Merchant Marine was granted veteran status.
Yeah.
So there doesn't seem to be any logical reason to deny you the Purple Heart.
No, it wasn't, but they just don't do it.
What would it mean to you if somehow, some way, you were awarded the Purple Heart?
I really appreciate it very much, because I take that Purple Heart for those that were killed.
The injuries that you suffered 76 years ago.
Yeah.
How do they still affect you today?
Pain. It doesn't quite. The doctor said, you've got so much nerve damage that you're never going to walk again. And I said, no, I'm going to walk. And it took me 2.5 years to get off crutches and canes. So I walked with canes for a while. And then finally I got big and strong enough to, when I go in for a physical exam, most of the doctors in those days were doctors that were field surgeons and doctors from World War II. And they'd look at me and they'd say, what happened to you? And I'd tell them, and they'd say, yep, you passed. So I got by physical exams most of the time, but my hearing was gone too. I got a hearing aids, but it doesn't do much good.
There were 406,000 Americans who died while serving in World War II, including 11 of your shipmates who you dedicated the rest of your life to.
Yeah, well, they lost more men percentage-wise than any of the armed services, but nobody publicized it at all.
The Merchant Marine, yeah. You know, for those of us who didn't experience this certainly the way you did, and for many of us right now listening, we didn't even live through this time in our history. Why is it important to remember those who died, those friends of yours and 406,000 more?
Should never be forgotten. They gave their lives and their ability to function, and they should never be forgotten.
What's your life like now, and what keeps you going?
This little girl I married 65 years ago. Poor thing, she really got herself into it.
How did you two meet?
I was in East L.A. College, and I ran into her. I met her before. She'd been going with a friend of mine, and I met her, and we finally got together, got married.
You guys have children?
Yeah, two, a boy and a girl.
And how many grandkids?
Two grandkids.
Any great-grandkids?
Not yet.
Well, that's four people who wouldn't be here if you didn't survive that day.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few things. Number one, I don't want to leave anything out that's important to you. If there's anything else you want to share, I hope you feel free to share it. I don't want to forget to say thank you.
Yeah, I just don't want to see them forget those who died during the wars.
Yeah, and I want to say on behalf of everybody who's listening, I want to say thank you for serving our country, and thank you for your example of perseverance and your determination to honor those shipmates. Yeah. Is there something when you look back, when you look back over 92 plus years, is there something you'd say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
That I live for them. I'm glad I can do it.
And is there anything that you're looking forward to that hasn't happened yet that you'd really like to see happen?
Yeah, a one-story house.
So you don't have to climb the stairs on crutches?
Yeah, I crawl up the stairs every night.
Oh, man. What do you think? You know, for those of us who didn't live through World War II, what do you think is important for us to know and understand and remember about what happened then?
Just that all those men that were Merchant Marine in a class with all the rest of them are the same. They sacrificed their lives for this country.
How do you view your own sacrifice? What's your perspective on that?
Just pain. Just a lot of pain, mentally and physically, because you dream about those boys that died and all of them that died in World War II.
Well, I guess I should ask you in light of that, too, and I'm not trying to put thoughts in your head. I'm just curious what's really there, how you really see it, because you said, you know,
yeah,
you made these promises to God.
Yeah, that's it.
Have you done on keeping those promises?
Yeah.
You have?
I hope so. I'll never forget them.
What do you think happens next?
I don't know. I just keep looking up. I think you're keeping me here.
Yeah, why do you think he's keeping you here?
Because I made a promise. A promise I'd live for those guys.
Well, more people are going to know about those guys because you had the courage to share this with us today.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, you know, some of these questions may seem odd, but I'm just wondering because you've lived the last 76 years with your life dedicated to those men who died on your ship. Is there something the rest of us can do to ensure that their sacrifice and your own sacrifice doesn't go to waste? What do you think is the best thing we can do to honor that sacrifice?
Just remember them. Remember those that have gone before us, that died for us.
And what's your view of what they died for?
For their country and the love of their country.
Well, thank you for opening your heart today, sir. I really appreciate you sharing.
All right.
Is there anything else you wanted to say?
I guess not, except thank you.
Leonard Blake, 92 years old, still keeping those promises and still hopeful that maybe someday he'll receive that Purple Heart. If that is something you believe should happen, I have the petition linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. You can also find that short video there of Mr. Blake outlining the extensive injuries he suffered 76 years ago. And you can see photographic evidence of the shape his ship was in after that kamikaze attack. Big thanks to Sheila Sova of the American Merchant Marine Veteran Organization for letting me know about Mr. Blake and his story. And before we go, here's one more thing he can look forward to, and we can all look forward to celebrating with him. In 2019, California Congressman John Garamendi sponsored a bill to award the Congressional Gold Medal to all Merchant Marine veterans of World War II. In 2020, President Donald Trump signed that into law, so the U.S. Mint will be designing that medal, and hopefully Merchant Mariners won't have to wait too long to hold it in their hands. Maybe, with your help, Leonard Blake will have a Purple Heart to display right alongside of it. That's all the time we have on the radio today. Don't forget, you can access the podcast version of this episode or any of our previous episodes at hometownheroesradio.com. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you one more time of that simple truth that Leonard Blake's 76 years of physical and emotional pain underscores so powerfully. Freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.